Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to...
Yes, we do. We welcome you to Love Letters Live, which is a show about just that, love letters, and the stories people have to share, life experiences, challenges, victories, blessings, and things that lead to a love letter. And so we're going to go right to our guest today, Bonnie Wallner, who's an interior designer in Mill Valley. And Bonnie's been with us once before and did a love letter to her husband after telling the story of how she met through the Internet. And it was just wonderful. I mean, I still smile at it, your experience and sharing what it's like as a not 20-year-old looking for a mate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you're an established person.
Right.
And that was great. So anyway,
just remind our listeners that if you'd like to hear that one, it's on our website,
exactly.
www.lovelettersquad.com.
Right. So. LoveLetterSquad.com, and it's Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
You can type that into the little search box. Okay. So I'm just going to go to you. Tell us about today's story and the love letter you have in your heart and mind.
Well, it's really exciting to be back here, Janet and Teresa. I had such a good experience several years ago regarding talking to you about my relationship with my husband. And I just felt so moved by this experience that I really wanted to come on again to talk about my lovely daughter.
I'm glad. Okay.
So I have a daughter who's 25 who recently got married in San Diego. And it was a pretty tumultuous raising of a daughter and a son pretty much alone for
Was it tumultuous because it was alone or because they had other pulls that made it?
Well, at 12, my daughter decided to live with her dad in Walnut Creek, uh-huh. and then I was living in Marin with my son and daughter at the time. So it was kind of difficult to let go of one child and keep the other because Walnut Creek was 53 miles away from Larkspur and Kenfield.
Uh-huh.
So it was.
So how often did you see her then?
Well, I saw Danielle every other weekend. She would come for a weekend, and then I would see her once a week for dinner in Walnut Creek. But my heart was broken, and it was torn because I missed her and loved her so much and just didn't really think it was the best thing to split up a brother and sister. But through the years, you know, things have changed and to the positive as far as our relationship goes, and I'm just so blessed to see her growth and her experience and her good choices.
And was her time with her dad good?
I think it was good. Yeah, she was there from eighth grade through high school.
Oh, that's a long time.
And then she went to junior college, DVC, I think it's over in...
Diablo Valley College?
Yes, uh-huh. I think it's... Anyway, the East Bay. And then she wound up going to UC Santa Barbara, graduating there, and then going down to San Diego. And next month is going to be getting a master's degree in autism.
Oh, good for... Oh, that's... worth talking about for a minute, too. But let me ask you something. So she and her brother are close?
Yes, they are good friends. Her brother's 23 and she's 25. Mm-hmm. They have completely different lifestyles at this point of their lives, but that's pretty typical for 20-year-olds.
What's his lifestyle?
Oh, well, he works in corporate America and likes to party.
Mm-hmm.
And she's religious, Jewish, mm-hmm. and has a very beautiful Chabad community around her.
Oh, interesting. And where does she live now? In San Diego?
In San Diego, University City.
Uh-huh.
And she married a wonderful man who was born in Russia, who is a musician and also works in the computer business.
Sounds like a very nice life.
Yeah, she's a wonderful life.
So tell us more about her and you.
Okay, well, she was married in December, as I said, and actually she and her husband planned their whole wedding and even paid for it themselves and had 220 people at a fabulous, fabulous event at the Sheraton Harbor Point.
And they had a religious Jewish wedding.
It was
then.
A totally religious Jewish wedding.
You want to talk about that? Because I think that would be interesting for people to hear about.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, it's very traditional. The husband and wife or the fiancé, do not see each other for 7 days before the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day before the wedding, the woman goes to a mikveh, which is a ritual bath, and mm-hmm. is cleansed and has lots of wonderful blessings. The day of the wedding, the men and women are separate in a ceremony called the bedeckening.
Mm-hmm.
And before the wedding begins, the husband, the groom, comes to the bride and puts a veil over her face as part of the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But the wonderful thing was, at the part of the wedding was just so touching to me, was that she was able to channel blessings to everyone that she talked to as a direct link to God. And she was just so amazingly loving and beautiful, and her wisdom was just over the top.
That's really
gorgeous.
Bonnie, I have to ask, what do you mean she was able to channel blessings to everyone? Can you give an example of that?
She had, told me that she wished me a beautiful life of health and happiness with my husband and with my business. And she just seemed so connected to the spirit, so to speak, that it was just mind-boggling.
So you felt the power of it. Is what...
Very, very powerful moment in her life. And it was lasted for about an hour, and men and women both would come to her for blessings because in the tradition, it was believed that this day is the holiest day of your life and that you are so connected to the spiritual being. And it was very obvious in the way she spoke and the way she looked and the way she was received by people that were in her wedding.
The day that you're a bride, you have that connection, yes. And so that power.
So you're actually the queen.
Yes.
And the husband, the groom, is the king for the mm-hmm. day. And they had a beautiful ceremony, and then they had separate dancing mm-hmm. for about 4 hours with beautiful Hasidic music.
Well, I know.
Band from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised in life that she became religious because you're not, or...
Well, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, mm-hmm. she had been religious in college.
Oh, okay.
When she was growing up, we had a kosher home, mm-hmm. and her dad does have a kosher home now. And she was in and out of Judaism, so to speak, but always was had a strong heart and a strong soul and a belief system.
Okay, so she always had that spiritual ability to act on it.
Yes.
Does she work now outside, though? What does she do?
Yes, she works as a director of a institute for autistic children.
Oh, that's right. You just said she got...
Uh-huh. And she works full-time for COIN Institute in San Diego and is a supervisor of 12 other employees. So she goes into homes of children 0 to 3 to help the parents and the children deal with their lives
and
on the autism spectrum.
And when you say help, do you know how she does that?
Yeah, I am a special educator myself.
Oh, God. That's right. I
and have the experience
taught.
Of
yes.
24 years as a special educator. Yes. And she goes in as a behaviorist mm-hmm. to talk to parents and to work with children to give positive reinforcement to their world.
So to teach them actually how to deal with
life skills. To deal with life skills, because many of the children do not talk.
Right.
So an early diagnosis is a key, and the more one works with autistic children at a young age, the better it is for the family and the child, particularly.
Now, you want to talk about when you were an educator, because I had forgotten about that. Know you now as a designer, so.
Well, I was an educator for 24 years and basically taught special education and was a resource specialist and worked in special day classrooms throughout the Bay Area. It was really a great career at the time. Then I got a little burned out.
Oh, okay.
So I decided to do something a little more creative. And takes a lot of patience, same amount of patience to order window coverings at the desk to work with kids who don't know how to read.
Yes, I'm sure.
You know.
Yes, and it's a demanding kind of a job. I mean, you're
Both I've really loved in my life. I've been very fortunate to have two careers.
Yes, and two careers that you get to give voice to two things that you're really good at, which is something that we see in a modern life that we didn't see in, 1940.
Right. Well, I think you have a passion. And if you have a passion for teaching, you have a passion for designing, you have a passion for life, it comes out, kind of in your career in a very positive way.
So now, your daughter has been married again for how long?
3 months.
3 months. And so her life is there. And did she come up to visit you?
She came up once for a mini honeymoon in Sonoma and spent 3 or 4 days there. And then I went down last month in April to see her and to really get to know her husband a little bit better and her lifestyle. I was very excited to be there. It was wonderful.
How did she meet him?
She met him at someone's house for dinner, on a Friday night dinner.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't through a matchmaker?
No, it was not. Although, Helene is kind of a matchmaker.
Oh, that's your daughter's name?
No, Helene is the woman who who opens her home to people every Friday night, and then she has 25 to 35 people as guests.
So she's kind of got a loving agenda when she does this.
Very much so.
I see.
Very much so. Yeah. So the kids are very happy, and it's just a beautiful thing to see smiles and love between them. And, I'm just convinced and look like I'm guaranteed a very wonderful life for my daughter.
That's good.
And a lot of wonderful things and kindness between
and that is what, a young that couple. Is what mothers want. That is what parents want, for their children to be happy.
Well, they say, you're only as happy as your most happy child.
As your most unhappy child.
Unhappy child.
That's right.
You
can only be as happy as your most unhappy child. I know, isn't that?
And it's really true.
Uh-huh.
And for many years, I was very worried about my daughter. If she'd find happiness, would she go to college? Would she graduate from college? And here she is, this Wonder
Woman. Now, did you have reason to be worried about those kind of things? Or?
Well, after high school, she decided not to go to college, and she was a waitress for a year.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, wasn't ready really for college yet. And then when she made up her mind to go to college, she did a very good job and was very focused and also became interested in special education and interested with
So she's really done something constructive.
Very,
and so,
very much so.
Yes. So your worry was just a motherly worry that...
Yeah, and I also didn't live with her since she was 12 years old, so that also was a very difficult thing for me as a mom to kind of let go of her
yes.
in a certain way because I really couldn't see her daily and be a role
Get
model.
Get to know
that
her
I
in that way
be.
Also, to know who is there, who
exactly.
she is. That's really nice.
So I'm
I
very
like
happy
that.
With Andy.
Oh, good, okay.
And so far, so good, they say.
And that's wonderful. You know, sometimes parents don't have the easiest time with accepting a life that is so markedly different from their own. You know, right. if your child lives some very different kind of life.
Well, I think the acceptance is the most important thing in raising yeah. children. And, you know, if you can accept who they are and what they are doing, if it's a positive
and
thing
And she's
such
doing, a lovely person and constructive and, yeah.
It makes your life so much better, I think,
That's
as
nice.
A parent.
Good. Now, yeah. have you ever written to her before?
No. I wrote to her when she went away to college and when she graduated from college.
What kind of letters?
Just like I'm so proud of you, you mm-hmm. know, you make my heart sing. Letters that were from my heart, but I never really had the courage to sit down and tell her exactly how I feel the past was, the present is, and my hopes for the future. And, you know, I'm trying to get my mind in another space to basically go ahead and do that.
Oh, that's a wonderful task. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that she'll, and this really will be your history and her history forever in your own handwriting.
Right.
For your grandchildren and great-grandchildren and more to right. see as life goes on.
And as they say, you know, the road is bumpy. And,
yes.
you know, you ride those waves up and down. And I really know that we've ridden those waves a lot together.
Oh.
And it has been together.
Okay.
So I'm hoping to hold on to the next chapter.
Good. And that's what often brings you closer together, right, is some of those bumpy roads.
Yes.
Because you have to hold on to each other.
Definitely.
And really know who's there mm-hmm. and trust.
Right. And I think that we both realize at this stage of our life, I'm 62 and she's 25,
mm-hmm.
and I had her when I was 36, is the math, that she really knows no matter what, I'm there for her 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, was her dad at the wedding also?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Okay, so.
And she's very close to her dad and her stepmom.
Oh, still? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So she has more people who
right.
love her in her life, and she's a, that's good.
Okay. Oh, let's just take a little time out to remind our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time. Hope you will join us. And go to our website to see past programs and other things, www.lovelettersquad.com.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so let's start. I mean, I'm going to ask you, because I always have to say it, who gets your love letter today?
My daughter.
Yes. Oh, okay. So
Danielle.
This is... Oh, I'm looking at pictures. This is just gorgeous, and he is, too. My goodness, what an adorable, handsome couple. Oh, I wish this were television. We could hold it up. You know, maybe we'll be able to put one of these on our website. Could we do that?
Okay.
Sure. Good. Let's borrow one, and we'll do that. Okay. So let's just start with this letter. What do you call her?
Danielle.
Okay. So, dear Danielle, it would be. I'm going to take notes for you.
Oh, great.
Because in... I love playing secretary here. Because in when we... Part of the first step, I think, in writing a really knockout love letter is to organize your thoughts and to put everything down that you want to say. And I'd like you to do that. And if there's something that you want to say that's too personal, then just don't say it out loud. But you write it down.
Okay.
And that way you'll have it. You know, you'll be able to. And sometimes, you know, that's something to remember that we talk about in our workshops. You're by yourself when you're writing this letter. Don't be inhibited. Don't censor yourself. Just let yourself go. You don't have to use everything. But you want to have it in front of you in case you have the courage to use it or see that it's really important.
Okay.
And some things you want to say for another letter or another time. So how do you want to start this? What are the things you want to tell her most?
Well, something I've always told her, that I love you with all my heart and soul,
mm-hmm.
and that you are, you know, one of the most special people in my life.
Okay, so those are two good places to start. And there's only one thing. One of the most special people in my life, I can tell is true, But why? I mean, to hear that doesn't mean so much, I don't think, in a letter without...
Well, I can say, actually, I always dreamt of having a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And having a daughter like you has been a dream come true.
Mm-hmm. What about her makes that dream come
well,
true?
Well, she's beautiful. As I said, as she was a young child in a carriage, she's beautiful inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
And that really comes through with her smile. Because when she's in a room, she lights it all up. So it's pretty special.
And what about her... When she was little, for example, like you're doing a kind of a summation right now mm-hmm. of a life with her, right?
Right.
So what are the things you remember from when she was first born, when she was little, when she was growing up?
Well, she was just so beautiful. I mean, she just had these beautiful eyes and this smile from ear to ear, and she was just very peaceful.
Well, that's an interesting. How did that show itself?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Big chubby cheeks, and she was just really, you know, pretty easy child to raise.
Well, that's what I mean. So she wasn't demanding, and she wasn't...
Not really. She was a typical two-year-old throwing things out of the diaper bag.
Yes.
But her middle name is Mazal, which mm-hmm. means good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that she was the fourth child of her father's and my first child.
Oh.
And I think that she brought the family good luck.
Uh-huh. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? Yes. So what do you remember were her early talents, for example?
Well, she would just, you know, squeak a lot, and she'd raise her shoulders really in a funny way and smile.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was with older parents, she was pretty much in the limelight.
Okay, that's a really important thing to talk about.
So I was 36 when she was born. Her father was 46.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she was, you know, I had dreamed of having a child my whole life, and finally at 36, you know, gave birth to a child, which mm-hmm. was really very exciting for me.
Not just a child, but a very precious, wonderful,
yes.
darling, beautiful child.
Yeah, gorgeous little girl.
So what are some things that you've never told her that you remember that you'd like to say that would mean something to her? I think Teresa and I talk a lot about this, that the gift is that you remembered.
Yes.
And it's amazing to me that in letters that really talk about memories, specific things, you know, I remember when I got you your first pair of roller skates and you, whatever it was, yeah. or how you looked in that yellow dress and you wouldn't let go of it and you wanted to wear it every, and people say, getting these letters, almost always, it's just invariable, one of two things, I didn't know you remembered that, or I didn't know you knew that about me. That's a gift that you were watching.
Yeah, well, one of the things I would say is that Danielle in kindergarten and preschool both would sit on the outside of the crowd. And she would watch the crowd of kids before she would actually come into it.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very skeptical of bringing her emotions to the group unless really they deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's still that way, you know, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful trait. She's very cautious
mm-hmm.
before she gets involved. But once she gets involved and turns into trusting you, watch out, because she is such a great friend. And that's something I've noticed from her.
That's an important
from
thing.
Her beginning of socialization.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, on Friday nights, she used to wear this great dress that was purple. It was bought in the mission. It had lots of
How
ruffles.
Old was she?
Two.
Oh, okay.
And she would wear this dress. She called her Shabby dress
mm-hmm.
for Shabbos, which was Sabbath.
Right.
And she would not wear any other dress but that little dress for several months. Mm-hmm. It was very cute.
So she always had a feel for the special quality of the Sabbath evening.
Yes, she did.
So that's what's...
That is definitely what has brought her back to Judaism
uh-huh.
as a return to a lifestyle that is really in her heart and soul.
Or she always had that sense of importance of it, that spiritual
so.
Sense, even as a little girl then.
I think so. Because that's the kind of house we had set up.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I just visualize her today, probably 23 years later, hanging on the bars at the playground. Just swinging like a little monkey. And that was just one of her favorite things to do, swing on those bars. And she had very strong arms
mm-hmm.
and loved to go to the park.
So she was playful.
A little bit.
Or, I mean, she liked the...
She
what?
Liked some...
Is she athletic?
Activity. No.
No, okay.
You know, what's striking me about some of this is that you may be, in this letter, you may be telling her things that she's totally forgotten and it will be a surprise to her.
Yes, I think so. It's very exciting because she doesn't remember a lot of her childhood.
Oh, well, then that's really a double gift. Thank you, Teresa, for saying
that. Yes, good idea, Teresa. Yeah. She doesn't remember a lot of the childhood because we got divorced when she was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, she was turned off from her family mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny at this point when I remind her of certain things that we've done and she doesn't really remember them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so let's do some more of those then. That's really nice. So, and you can always say, just like that, you know, because we were divorced at 7 and family life was a little halted.
Right.
I know there are things that you may not remember. Here's what I remember.
Exactly.
And just to say it like that, and right. there's the present.
Great present. I mean, I have 1,000 pictures. I mean, I used to take a roll a week of the kids.
Yeah.
But she doesn't remember the clothes, the fun things she picked out at the
store.
Okay,
so let's start listing some things.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Well, it'll be trips to Tahoe, you know, whether it was in the summer or winter to go skiing or swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Trips to see Poppy in Florida and Grandma.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just writing down trips to Tahoe, trips to Florida, and then you can fill in the details
okay.
of that.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. You know, miniature golf. She played real golf with Dad, with Poppy, and she had a really good time. Family picnics in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We went every year, every other year, to see family in Chicago. Lots of cousins and aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm. Is she still in touch with these
very
relatives?
Few. Or, uh-huh. It's hard because it's pretty far away.
Right. Yes. So, what other kinds of things? Just run through a couple of other, if you can, if. What did you miss most about her when she was living with her dad?
Well, I missed the daily communication. I missed watching her grow up. I missed, you know, teaching her so many skills I wanted to teach her, whether it was in the kitchen or life skills.
So, let's list some of those.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Well, relationships, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that she couldn't see me in a male-female relationship. I'm sorry that she couldn't see me... you know, with my girlfriends and the kinds of things that we would do, whether it was a cooking club, a book club, or just hiking with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a stretch from 12 to 18 to see her in her
yeah.
life,
uh-huh.
in her home that was different than my home.
Mm-hmm.
So in many ways, it was a very bittersweet time for me mm-hmm. to watch her from afar.
What kinds of things did you do together on those occasions when you were together, like once a week and every other weekend?
Well, we'd usually meet for dinner,
uh-huh.
and we would usually go to a sushi bar in Walnut Creek. But the conversation was very limited because I really wasn't part of her life
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis. So I didn't know her friends. I didn't know really what she did, and I felt pretty much like the detective or the questionnaire, which was not anything that a 12 or 13-year-old wanted.
No, they don't. Even if they live with you, they don't want to answer those questions often.
No. So she had a very private life from me. But when she was in high school and after high school, I would go see her once a week, bring her groceries, and just kind of never give up on where she was in her life.
Did she know that at the time, or she knows it now, of course?
Both.
Oh, she did.
I think
that's
so.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, and she appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to this day, she appreciates those times when Mom stood for her and by her.
Mm-hmm. So, wherever you want to say, wherever you were, I never gave up on.
I never gave up on knowing you would make it through your life in a positive way.
Good. Okay.
Or that you'd have a relationship probably someday.
And I was hoping always. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Teresa. I was hoping always that I would have a good relationship that was a solid, so to speak, mother-daughter relationship, and now I think I'll have a fabulous relationship.
Okay, let's talk about that transition. That's important.
Ooh, it's great. Well, mm-hmm. I talk to her almost every day, and we talk about real things like, you know, your husband and what you're up to, you know, what did you make for dinner. We share a lot of cooking skills
mm-hmm.
and just really life. You know, I don't really give her any advice because I don't think that's appropriate unless I'm asked for it,
mm-hmm.
which is probably close to never.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just want to be there for her as a role model and as a loving parent.
And friend.
And friend. Thank you, of course. And I do think she's my friend. I mean, I think when I need her, if and when I need her for some illness or something, I know she'll be there. Mm-hmm. She's a very devoted type of person.
Okay. So
and I plan to go down to see her in a couple of weeks and already I'm thinking of wonderful things to do with her, for her, and just, you know, just fills my heart with joy to see her happiness.
Mm-hmm.
and our relationship that is so good now versus 10 years ago, which was very trying.
How could it not be? Of course, yes. Okay, so fills my heart with joy to see you. Say that again.
Fills my heart to joy to see her in her life today,
mm-hmm.
which is a very successful life. She has meaning. She has community. And she has a husband who really loves her and that she loves.
Okay. And loving is a success. You know, mm-hmm. we say loving another person is a real, it's your success if you can love wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something that goes really at the top of the resume, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know, when you give, you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that we give to get, but, I mean, just seeing the two of these young people giving to each other, they get so much satisfaction
mm-hmm.
from each other. They are building a beautiful relationship together.
Yes.
And it just, you know, warms my heart to watch it.
How long did they date?
Not very long.
Mm-hmm.
They met in July.
Mm-hmm.
And they were married in December.
Wow.
And
that's nice.
In the Orthodox community, you don't live together. You don't
right.
have relationships together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Relations, and so they get married pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to have a 2-year engagement when you don't have a relationship that can be intimate.
No,
is torture of its own kind.
This wedding was planned in 6 weeks.
Yes,
and
yes.
I was a guest, and I did nothing to help her plan the wedding.
Did that feel funny to you?
Yeah, I hated that.
Yeah, oh, I wonder.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was her wedding, not
yeah.
mine. I was out of town and just came 4 days after being away for a couple of weeks in the Caribbean to a wedding that was over the top, magnificent. From the dress to the orchids on the table and calla lilies and music.
So another tribute. So she's got that design gene from you,
guess
apparently.
So. I guess so. She's much more relaxed than her mom, though. She gets it done in her way.
Good. Okay, so this is just a lot of wonderful things to say. There's something about writing a letter, well, in every way that can be, we love it, but writing a letter that really sums up what you missed and then comes around to the conclusion that you have it all. That's really wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. I like the way you put that, Jen.
Well, let's I'm going to write that down then.
Good.
And, you know, if that's something that will get you to think in that way, great.
I'm very excited to do this for her.
I'm so happy.
And I actually want to give this to her as a graduation gift.
Mm-hmm. So, but will you mail it to her? Or
I'm going to hand deliver it.
Okay, so that's a good thing to know about. So you're going to hand deliver it because a love letter really is a gift like nothing else. But when she reads it,
will I
you
be there?
Uh-huh, that's the question.
You know, I don't know.
We do.
We know the answer to that question.
Okay, what do you think?
No.
Should I be there?
No.
No, I don't think so.
And you might even want to say, I'm giving you this now, you read it later.
Yeah.
Because if you're there, she's going to, you know, people feel obligated to respond in some way. The beauty of a love letter is you don't have to.
Right.
It's just a private moment. And even though you know what you wrote, you don't know what she's reading.
No, and I don't really want her to read it to me, or I don't want to read it to her because it's something for her to keep forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to construct this with our interview today to be meaningful so that she will have it forever.
Yes.
And, as you said, share it with her children.
Yes. Right. And, you know, it'll be found in some treasure box or some closet or something, and they'll find it. And, well, even though years have passed, it will always be the truth about how you felt in 2009.
Super.
When we're all long gone.
Right.
This will stay.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yes. Okay. Letters do.
Thank you, Bonnie. This is marvelous. And it just, again, points out the importance of the specifics in love letters.
Yes. That's what makes it. Because you're so special. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you're so special for all these reasons. And here's what I loved. And here's what I missed. And here's what I have. That's something.
Right. Great.
Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And thank you to all of our listeners who are with us today. We hope you'll join us every week at this time. And also visit our website where we have most of our past programs that you can go back and enjoy again and again. You can search by topic or by name.
Yes. And this is serving another wonderful purpose, which is, as Teresa always says, say what you feel.
While you still have the chance.
Yes, that is so important. And that means while you're still here on this earth.
Right.
So that somebody will have something of you forever.
Right.
So thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, let me turn it over to Janet. Although this is a gift for her, for your daughter for graduation, Janet always says, if you think...
Yes, you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter. Please remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So after that, we will sign off. This is Teresa.
And Janet saying...
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.